Welcome to Everyone Loves Guitar, where we get to sit down and talk with interesting professional guitar players and related music industry experts. If you love playing guitar, stick around. You're in the right place. Hey, everybody. This is Craig Garber from Everyone Loves Guitar, and I have a very cool guest today. And I'll tell you, I know three things about her. Number one, I've seen her play guitar, and she's a force of nature to be reckoned with. She's really an amazing player. She plays electric with a very unique finger picking, sort of hybrid finger prick. I don't know what it is, but we'll ask her. But I've never seen anybody do it. And she sounds like two guitars are playing, and she's really got it together as a guitar player, and really beautiful, melodic, and hypnotic voice that goes along with it when she sings. Second thing I know about her, she went to school on a golfing scholarship, but she ditched the scholarship, and we didn't talk about perhaps the college thing as well. We have to figure that out.
Yeah.
And to play guitar, write music, and form her own band, which I also thought was very cool. And number three, her last album was 2016's Live at the Silent Planet, and she's currently working on a follow-up full-length album to this, which is going to come out in 2018, which has been recorded already. That being said, I want to welcome Liz Cooper from Liz Cooper and the Stampede. And just so people know, to me, their music is great rock and roll. But Liz, I don't know if you want to classify it more or
break it down. I guess I've been telling people folk psychedelic rock, because I feel like the style kind of touches on all three of those. I mean, it's definitely a rock and roll show, but I think my influences and how I play, it's got a folk thing, and it also has like the psychedelic thing, especially with Grant and I, with our tones and the pedals and stuff that we use and just the whole vibe of it. So
yeah, it is psychedelic. I love psychedelic rock. It's my favorite.
Yeah, I do.
But I want to clarify, when she says folk, this isn't like Bob Dylan with an acoustic guitar. She's kicking ass here. But so anyway, thank you so much for your time. I'm really glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, nice to be here.
So let's talk. Let's begin by talking about some of your music that's out there. Specifically, there's a half-hour clip of you guys on YouTube from an Audio Tree broadcast. And what is Audio Tree? There's hundreds of them out there that they do a lot, but what are they?
Audio Tree is like the best thing that's ever happened to me. but I guess for us, I don't know if you have to be at a certain level or what they look for, like what their criteria is for getting bands on their show. I know that they're into a lot of like heavier bands, but we reached out last fall, and I had some friends that were friends with people who worked there, and I needed content, and essentially they do an interview throughout the 30-minute session. Yeah. They film it live. So you can watch it while it's happening, and you get to play 4 to 5 songs, depending on how long your songs are. But basically, they do a phenomenal job of filming it and of the mixing and everything for the sound of it is phenomenal. And I mean, yeah, we did that last fall, and it came out, I guess, around this time last year. And it just, that's like what I feel like helped put me on the map in some way or another. It just got people looking at it and watching it. It's just unreal how many people are subscribed to their YouTube channel, and just a lot of people pay attention to Audio Tree.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, your music is what got you out there, but I know what you're saying. From a distribution standpoint, and they did do a great job with the mixing and everything, and its sound was great, and the interview was good, too. You know, it really was. Yeah. He asked you interesting questions, and I just thought it was really cool.
Absolutely.
What guitar are you playing on that? Is that your
that's
number
my,
one?
That's my number one. That's the most comfortable guitar to me. I love it. It just feels like an extension of me. It's called a Creston, and this guy Creston Lee, he's based out of Burlington, Vermont. It's just him. If you go onto his website, there's a funny thing in the info section, and it's like, if you're trying to apply for a job, It's like, don't bother because it's just me. And that's like, you know, it's just this guy up there. He's wonderful. And he helped me make this guitar, essentially. So it's basically built from the woods of Burlington.
How'd you like, it's look like Jazzmaster or a Mustang, yeah, or something?
Yeah, it's a Jazzmaster looking. Yeah, it's a salvaged spruce body. So it's just like, I think he found a spruce tree and it's made from that. It's Indian rosewood, and the neck and then Lawler pickups.
That's really cool. How did you find this dude?
Well, I have some family that live in Burlington, but some people, that I've always, you know, just loved musically, like Raylan Baxter has played, I think it was actually, Benny Yurko, who plays guitar for Grace Potter. He had this guitar, and, I think Raylan played maybe the same guitar. I don't know. I just saw some like YouTube videos of them playing it, and I was like, that's a really pretty thing. And then, my uncle, he had heard about it and whatever. So I just kind of went onto his website, and I mean, you could really make it whatever you wanted it to be. So I was like, this is pretty, really, just badass.
It is badass. Great colors of the wood and the green. Really cool looking.
Yeah, thank you.
I think the Grace Potter and them are from up in the Northeast too, aren't they?
Yeah, they're based out of Burlington. Yeah, Benny is like the mayor of Burlington. He's not actually the mayor, but he's really like, everybody knows him up there.
They're married? Are they married, those two, Grace Potter and him?
No. No,
okay.
Absolutely not.
Okay. They're married. Okay, so you said there's Lawler pickups in there, not P90s.
Yeah.
Okay. And what amp are you playing out of in that video? Because your sound was monster.
A Vox AC-15. I'm actually resting my legs on that amp right now.
All right, nice. It sounded fantastic. Is that like a vintage Vox or a new one? Or
no, it's a newer one. I mean, the color is different and it kind of has a vintage look to it. I just honestly got this from Guitar Center in Baltimore, and it was cheaper than the normal Vox, like the brown colored one. And so I jumped on it, and I don't know. I've always gravitated towards the Voxes because of, I think, the Beatles. I'm a huge Beatles fan. And, I just think they sound great. I think this with my guitar, it makes it, it makes it kind of growly, or I don't know. It really gives it its own personality, which, I love.
So. No, the whole set sounded fantastic. So whatever you're doing, it's great.
Thanks.
So let's talk about your playing now. I mentioned earlier your playing is great. It's very expressive. It's very expansive. And you've got like a unique finger-picking style. But your solos are also really good and very well played. And so my question is, where did you develop that style of playing, and how long have you been playing like that?
I don't really know how it's developed. I mean, I started playing when I was 16 or 17, just like that was when I first picked up a guitar, and I don't know how to read and I don't know theory. So I've kind of just, I've always learned from ear or by ear. That's how I've done everything. It's just, I can hear something and I've always been able to play it, pretty immediately. So I would just learn, I would do the guitar tabs and all that stuff, which now I'm like, oh, I wish I would have just like spent the time and had, you know, really taught myself. But I started out doing the guitar tabs and learning a bunch of just like, you know, folk songs, like, and then, you know, you learn like Avett Brothers songs, stuff that you're really into when you're 16. It's like the Avett Brothers, Jack Johnson, John Mayer, all of that stuff, unfortunately. But that's like...
You sound like my kids, that's all. You sound like my 25-year-old. He listens to the same stuff. That's quite...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that was like what I started to do. But then my dad, he's always been a music junkie. And he's like, what the hell is this music? You know, he's like, you got to listen to Bob Dylan. And you got to listen to the Grateful Dead. And the Allman Brothers, and I've always gone to shows like that. You know, some of my first shows it was like Peter Frampton, and I've seen all extensions of the Grateful Dead. And
with your dad, you go to shows.
Yeah,
like that? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, with That's my cool. dad and his friends and my mom, and so I've just always been around music, and because I played golf my entire life, that was like mostly my job. It was, I guess, to get away from that, I loved to play the guitar and I loved singing and doing all of that. Although I was I kept it very close to me and I never did anything with it necessarily. I guess I started to sing, when I was like 18 or like when I sang in front of people for the first time. But yeah, I guess the finger picking thing, I developed that from just listening to bluegrass and learning classical music and just doing that whole thing. And then I guess the soloing started when, not too long ago, honestly, probably like 2 years ago is when I started doing like guitar solos and doing that whole thing, because I would just get into my basement with Kai and he would be on drums and I'd be like, well, I guess I can't play my acoustic guitar right now. Or like, I've got to like crank that shit.
Okay. So you did start on acoustic then.
Yeah. It's been acoustic until really a couple years ago.
Okay.
And so I really just kind of started playing around then, and I've just spent a lot of time absorbing, but it's all intentional, but it's just been a natural progression really of me trying to figure it all out and, you know, playing with different people. And I mean, this year for me, I've been trying to figure out how to improve as a player, and I don't necessarily want to sit down in front of the computer and learn anymore. So I played for other bands this year. I played lead in a band called Okie Dokie. And, so I do a lot of writing with them, and, I went on tour for like a week with them, and I was their guitar player. And, there's a band called Desert Noises, and, I went on the road with them and I was their lead guitar player as well. And we opened up for them. So I did double duty for like a couple weeks.
Oh, that's really cool. So you opened up for them. And you did your show, and then you did the lead.
And then I did.
That's
lead
pretty
for them.
Bad. You know, I think that's so cool. I really respect you that you just said, I don't want to sit in front of the computer and learn anymore. I want to just do this shit, which is basically what you said. I really respect that, because I think a lot of people that are, especially at your stage, age wise, are like, would be afraid to say that you know, because you know the perceptions. Right. I gotta learn. I gotta get better. But you are learning and you are getting better. You're just saying, I don't want to sit in front of a computer and do it. I want to go out and play and do it.
Yeah, it's like really having some sort of pressure on me is like, that's how I like to
Absolutely.
Learn.
Absolutely. Well, you step up too. It teaches you a lot of things, you know.
And it does.
And I think you said, you know, you're trying to figure out. I think you've got a lot of it figured out. I mean, your playing is great. It's really.
Thank you.
And you don't use a pick, do you, ever?
No, I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do. It depends on certain songs I don't. Okay. And I've tried to figure out, you know, in the set, I'm very strategic about like what songs are where, because I have to figure out like I tune a lot. I tune my guitar differently a lot of the time some of these finger picking songs. And so I have to like figure out what I'm doing and if what I'm playing, you know, with a pick or not with a pick or any of that kind of stuff. So it's just all fairly strategic.
What? Two things. One, I want to point out that I hope people listen to what you just said, because you said something that I think is really important. You said, I'm very strategic. I figure out where to put the placement of songs. And I think that's important that people recognize that, because, you know, we had a conversation earlier and you mentioned something about, well, it didn't happen overnight. And I think people don't understand often what goes into being successful in anything, whether it's playing guitar or playing in a band. I mean, everything is deliberate, you know, like you just said, I strategically think about what songs, you know, it's not like, you know, you roll out of bed and fog a mirror and here you are. You know,
yeah, that would be awful.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't. It wouldn't work. Everything has to be thought of. You can't randomly just, you know. Well, I hope this shit works.
Exactly.
You know, hope is not a good business strategy. You know, but what you're doing is great, because if it's deliberate and if it doesn't work, great. Well, then you can make it deliberately different next time. You know,
sure.
But the fact that you're aware, you know, your awareness is high is like just so awesome, I think, you know.
That's what you got to do it like that. It is the whole thing of being like, maybe 3 years ago, I'd be like, God, I wish I was playing that show, or like, why am I not playing this show or opening up for this person? And it's like, I was not ready for it. You know, everything, it's just like, there's a time when you're ready and you got to be patient, which is just,
yeah, who the hell wants to be patient sometimes. Fucking patience sucks.
It does but you gotta learn it. You gotta be patient or else you're screwed.
Yeah, it's tough. I haven't been patient my whole life, and now I am patient, and for some reason I don't know why. Strange. I don't know. I think once I hit 50, I was like, man, I gotta just chill out and
sure
be one with the world.
Yeah, it's a good way of thinking.
Well, it's been a lot less pressure, to tell you the truth. It has been a good way of thinking as far as that, you know, when it's like, when I pulled the brakes off of and just said, you know what, let me just go with the flow instead of thinking I can control the flow. It really actually was a lot less pressure, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So, in your soloing, you use a lot of double stops. And so I have two questions, and they're all very tastefully placed. Number one, especially for someone who doesn't know theory, where did you learn that from?
Well, before this interview, I actually went on Google and I looked up what a double stop was.
Hey, anybody who thinks this is a scripted, you are awesome.
Yeah, so I still am trying to figure out what the hell it is, but
oh my God, you are the best.
Yeah, so I think it's just all I'm into jazz music, and I don't know if that's something that they do a lot in jazz, but I did end up taking lessons for a stint of time from this guy, Carl Filipiak, who is a jazz player here in Baltimore. And I took him, there was a year, I guess, in between when I left college and when I moved down to Nashville. So in that time, I just worked at, you know, I did grounds crew maintenance working at a golf club. So I'd be up early as hell doing that, and then I would do guitar lessons, and I'd be learning and writing and doing all of that. So maybe it's developed from there, but nothing. I mean, I took the lessons, but I don't know if I was necessarily like ready for them or absorbing them correctly.
No, you did, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, I think I did, but at the same time, it's not anything. I mean, I tried to learn. It ended up just being like a really fun hang with this guy. And we would talk about music and just things that would inspire him and inspire me. And he was a great mentor, and someone who really just would, he turned me on to really great jazz and just music that would challenge me. Because I would take these lessons and he'd be trying to teach me the theory and like notes and reading and all of it, but I wasn't ready for it in a way that I just wasn't like taking the time, I don't think, to really like learn the theory. It's like, you know, when you're a kid, if you take piano lessons and you have to go home and you have to practice and you're like, ugh, why do I have to do that? You know, and then it becomes this boring thing, like, you know, right, that you don't want to do. And so I just kind of, I guess I think he realized that that was not my thing, but he definitely taught me a lot as far as just like listening to music and just really pushing me, I think, in a good way.
So it sounds like he probably showed you some double stops or showed you some aspects of soloing and patterns of where they would be, and through repetition and your ear you got it. And you applied it. Yeah, because you play them really well. That is literally the best answer to any question that I've had in 150 interviews. You're awesome. I just Googled it 5 minutes before the call. Your distortion, some of those songs, you have really warm sounding distortion. Is that the Vox alone, or you have pedals behind that, or overdrive maybe even?
I used to have an EP booster, mm-hmm. and a lot of my pedals I've just gotten from people who don't want them anymore, or the only pedals that I've really bought, I've gotten an Echoplex delay pedal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely, that adds some sort of distortion, the way I use it. I'm still trying to figure out how to use it. It's all always developing and changing, but
you didn't Google that.
I didn't Google that one. It's just been playing with it. But the Echoplex, and I would say the EP booster would probably be the only thing that would really add some sort of distortion, because then, I mean, I have a Hall of Fame reverb pedal. I've got a tremolo.
That trem pedal sounded good on some of those.
Yeah, I use really that good. A lot. I do love the tremolo. It's got. I love Link Wray and that whole vibe of music, so that's been a big inspiration of just like tremolo and that whole 60s surf rock thing. And I have a Soul Vibe, which is like the warbly, like wah pedal, I guess, that I have. And
it's like a Deja vibe, I think.
Yeah, and
I like tremolo also. I think it adds a lot of depth and intensity to the music, you know. It kind of forces you to listen closer.
Oh, absolutely.
I really enjoy that.
Yeah, it takes something that could be plain and make it a little bit more interesting.
Right, definitely. It definitely adds depth to it, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite song, Dalai Lama, I listened to it literally like 10 times. I mean, I really enjoyed it. What is that? Is that song about anything, or just like a jam you guys put together, or...?
Well, I started writing that song. I've had that song for a very long time, and I didn't know what to do with it. I started writing it. All of these songs I wrote on the acoustic guitar. And so Dalai Lama, I think I started writing that maybe when I was like 18 or 19. And it's turned, I mean, even what I'm talking about in the audio tree or what I'm singing, I changed the lyrics to it, so it's different now than it is. I think it's just pretty much about, I don't know. I think some of my songs, the way I write them, certain ones are about certain things, but then other ones are things where it's like maybe you fall into what it means, or like it's like I'm not sure what that means yet. Maybe one day I'll find out what that means. But I think it's just about kind of your, like, you're in your head, just kind of like the, just, I don't know, sometimes I get way too into my head and just, I don't know, sometimes I feel like a total psychopath.
Are you an analytical? Do you tend to overanalyze a lot of stuff?
I do and I don't at the same time. I don't usually, I guess maybe, I don't know. I'm analyzing it right now.
Analyzing the answer about do you analyze? Yeah. It's classic. Liz, you're the best.
Then I would have to say yes.
Are you driven by anything? Is there like certain key events? And if it's too personal, by all means, you don't have to answer. But is there any like key events that like fill you with angst or anger or a particular emotion that you use to get out in your writing?
There's a lot, I would say all my songs, like there's usually something that triggers something for me on to why I'm writing them. But The Night, I don't know if that song was on the audio tree, but there's a song I have called The Night. And when I started writing that, that was when in Baltimore there were the riots happening. And so I started writing it about that, but then it's kind of general at the same time, or it turned into a thing where it's like, I don't think anybody would know that that's what that is about unless I like told them, which is kind of what I like to do. Cause I want people to use their imagination and make it however they want it. You know, I want it to be relatable for whoever it may be and not be like super specific. And that's just how I've been writing probably, I mean, for the last few years, and I'm interested to see how things develop, just growing, you know, I this year I've been doing a lot of writing with a lot of different people and not necessarily for myself, and which is great. I love to do that, but I'm excited to see how things change and how, you know, just to see how I write. And I've been, my New Year's resolution is to read a book a week.
That's a lot of reading, a book a week. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to really kind of just dive into that and see how I develop as a writer. Because for me, I mean, the lyrics and everything are so important to me. And I know my guitar playing is definitely like, that's definitely something that people gravitate to immediately, just because people don't usually see a woman playing the guitar the way I do. So that's like a thing that they gravitate towards, which I'm totally
it's
aware
what's
of.
Coming out though, Liz. It's not that you, I mean, yeah, but it's what's coming out of there. If you being a woman playing guitar is unique, but it's, you're making very good music. I mean, it's not that, you know what I'm saying? It's interesting, but what's coming out is why they, you know, that might open the door, but why they stay once the door is open is because of what's coming out.
Sure.
Make no mistake about it. It's because, I mean, there's plenty of women playing guitar that
totally
don't sound good. Or plenty of guys playing guitar. And plenty of guitarists that don't sound good. So, I mean, your music, it sounds great. That's why they're sticking around.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how I develop as a writer in this next year and see just how music. I have no expectations as far as like what's going to be coming out as far as my writing and all that stuff goes. Because
it's a very healthy, low.
Yeah, I don't want it to be like, oh, I'm trying to sound like this or I'm trying to do this. I'm just going to see what happens and see how I write and, go for that, I guess, angle of writing. But, I think everything that I have right now, there's definitely something behind it, but, it's just, I guess it's whatever people want it to be for themselves as well. It's stuff that I've dealt with, but it's also things that I feel like a lot of people in their young 20s deal with. Right. So I'm hoping that people connect in that way.
What kind of books do you like reading? You said you want to start.
Well, I just got a bunch of books the other day. I got F. Scott Fitzgerald, The Other Side of Paradise. I got a book on Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And I got, I try to read the classics. So I didn't, you know, I went to college for a brief stint. So there's never been someone like forcing me to read anything. So now I've been trying to just like read classics and things that, I want to try to read stuff that may make me think in a different way or just from another perspective.
So you like fiction or nonfiction?
I've been into, either is cool, but I like to read, I guess nonfiction is what I like.
Interesting. I had another question about the song Dalai Lama, because I really just dug it so much. In there, it's like the chorus, it sort of goes off in a different direction. It's like you're serving breakfast and all of a sudden you're serving, you know, sunshine and cakes. And it was really cool. And so there's like a jazzy section and the beat changes a bit. And then you know, basically the three of you guys are just like really jamming. And I was curious, is that how the song was originally written? Because it sounds great.
No, I mean, all of the jams and all that kind of stuff developed when we all got together and started playing. I mean, I'm not going to be jamming by myself on the acoustic guitar. but I figured out how to do that in some sort of way, I guess, if I have to. But
did you write that break in there, or was it just collaboratively? You said, hey, man, now let's just, you know, go off here
for
a while.
That's all just been developed over years of practicing and playing live. I mean, we've been on tour for the last 2 years. Like I've been booking shows until, I mean, we just signed with a booking agency a couple months ago. So, but I've just been wanting to be on the road. And so the last couple of years, it's just like, we'll be playing 4-hour bar gigs. Hmm. So a lot of this is just developed from us playing live together. And I mean, it's definitely all thought out at one point or another, and we've hashed it all out, but it's just all stuff that, you know, playing live, it plays a huge factor into.
Yeah, well, you could tell you guys have played a lot. You're super tight. I mean, very, thanks, very tight, for especially for a young band. Where are you originally from?
I'm from Bel Air, Maryland. I'm in it right now. It's just north of Baltimore, probably 30 minutes north.
So, like, right outside of D.C. then, right?
No, it's probably – I'm near Pennsylvania. Okay. So, I'm, like, near the Mason-Dixon line.
Okay.
Cool. But I've moved around a bunch as a kid. I was born in Frederick, so right outside of DC. But I grew up mostly in Bel Air. I moved around. I've probably moved like 12 or 13 times.
Oh, wow. How come?
Just my parents like to move. They, you know, not for any particular reason, but they've been able to move, and I think me being an only child, is I'm easy to pick up and take places. So, so we were in Frederick and then New York and Indiana, New Hampshire, Connecticut. And,
wow, that's wild.
Moved around. Yeah, a lot of the East Coast we've been around. So
what was your childhood like growing up in all these different places?
I loved it. I mean, it was good. I guess as far as like, I know on one of the questions you said, what's your childhood memory or like favorite childhood memory? And I was like, oh man, that's hard for me to remember specific memories just because I've moved so much. Hmm. It's hard for me to pinpoint, you know, when you're in one area, it's maybe easier for you to be like, oh, that happened, or this like was a great memory. But it's just like, I've moved around to so many different places and had to restart and like get to know people, and do all that. That's been always like, just, it's a constant moving thing. So, but I loved moving around. I mean, it didn't bother me. I think that's helped me, just with everything I'm doing now. And I've always been a fairly shy person, or painfully shy in high school.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, and then when I moved to Nashville was when I was like, well, I can't do that anymore, or else I'm just not going to make friends. You know, I've got to like force myself to go out and meet people. And so I think doing that as a, you know, a young kid and meeting all these people prepared me for Nashville and just like this section of my life. But I'm so different than what I was growing up that it's just unbelievable, but in all positive way.
Sure. I was real surprised when you said you're painfully shy, because I was just thinking, wow, I guess moving around a lot, you had to meet people, that probably helped you out because your communication skills are great and you're, you know, very easy to talk with. So I figured that, you know, moving around did that. It's funny how, you know, people see the end, not the end product because you're young, but people never seem to realize there's no way someone could realize meet you today or meet me today and see, you know, what the genesis of that sort of
right.
the evolution of that is. It's always interesting to find that out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think, I mean, I definitely, when I was a kid, meeting people and doing all that definitely prepared me for just everything. I'm glad that my parents made me do it, because I'm definitely more so of an introverted person, and I guess it's just like I've learned how to talk to people and learned how to, especially being an only child too, because you hang around adults a lot.
Hmm.
So I've just kind of, and especially in the golf world too, like being at country clubs and all of it, I've just always had to like figure out how to communicate with people.
Yeah. So. Well, you've done a good job.
Well, thank you.
What kind of work did your mom and dad do?
My dad is an insurance agent for State Farm, and my mom works for the Army. She does computers and
wow.
She could be a spy. I don't know.
That's good.
Yeah.
Your mom's a spy.
Maybe. Everyone would be shocked.
Why is that? Doesn't seem very spy-like.
No.
You know that, you ever see that movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger where he's a spy and his wife, Jamie Lee Curtis is his wife, and
oh,
she doesn't
yeah.
know. I forgot it was a good movie. I forgot what it was.
I can't remember the name of it, but yeah.
You're so into golf and you got a scholarship. What was the compulsion or the compelling drive of music that pulled you away? What was it about that?
Music was my escape and like, golf was my job. So I've been playing golf since I was 7, and I've essentially been on tour playing, you know, in tournaments since I was like 10 or 12. And I got burnt out. I never felt like I fit in necessarily just with people in the golf community. It was just so different. It was different than what I like to do, and different than, I mean, I like to be outside and hike and do all that kind of stuff, you know, just like hippie shit. And I think, you know, in high school, I'd have my golf friends and they were all at the country club and like doing that, and they were different. And then I'd have like my friends in high school who were like, oh, like, let's smoke weed and let's like play music. And I was like, this is so much more fun than playing golf. So I think it was just a combination of golf was, it really did feel like a job at the end of it, especially when I knew I was going to college for it, because playing a collegiate sport, is
a big commitment.
I mean, that is your job.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So when I did it, it was like everything that could have gone wrong went wrong, and it was like everything was telling me that I needed to do something else, and music was what I loved and what I was passionate about, and that was what I wanted to do. So I mean, everyone was so worried about me when I was like, I'm moving to Nashville, because they were like, what the hell, you know. I'm so different now than what I, you know, from where I was like when I first was moving down there. I don't think anybody, I mean, I really did write some of my first songs like when I was moving down there. So I've really just had to work my ass off. And when I moved down there, you know, everyone is so amazing and you really have to step your game up. And so I started to figure it out. I mean, I didn't know anybody when I moved down there, and I just started doing writer's rounds. You know, I started playing and I started writing. So I like really just holed myself up and I wrote and I played and just started doing the long developing artist thing. So here I am now.
Yeah. Well, I'm really happy for you that you followed your intuition and that you stayed true to yourself, because that's often, you know, I think there's a bit of a risk involved in stepping out into the unknown, and it's good that you trusted what your intuition and what the universe was telling you, because I think when you do trust it, it's not as much fear.
Yeah.
You know, to make that move, it's an easy move, actually.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Good for you. I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
Who are your biggest influences guitar-wise?
Well, I mean, growing up kind of in the jam world, I've always loved Jerry Garcia and just all of those festival kind of bands. But for me, like, really, I mean, Jerry Garcia, I really got into him because of all of his bluegrass stuff and all of, like, the, I mean, because he went through a huge folk and bluegrass thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that so much. And so that was, like, a huge influence for me. And so, I mean, that's always been kind of in the back of my head. And the Beatles with the melodies. And there's not anyone super specific besides, I would say, Jerry Garcia that really has, like, influenced me, because it's all just been me figuring it out. I don't know. I think because I am in my head so much, I'm just learning from scratch.
That's great.
I'm not trying to be like anyone necessarily. I'm just trying to do what feels right and what sounds good to me. And, yeah. So I think doing this next batch of songs will be difficult, because it's hard to take yourself out of your, you know, head for a minute and be like, okay, well, how am I going to approach this? Or, you know, the solos, it's all happens just naturally. And, everything, there's not anything that's necessarily been like, that's it. That's like what I'm going to try to sound like. It's all just kind of, you know. Oh, and Nick Drake is someone for me that I love.
That's interesting, because he was a very depressing cat, and your music is very not depressing.
Yeah, I'm really into him.
Interesting. Okay. Every time I listen, I have some of Nick Drake's stuff, and it's always like, that's what it sounds like before you commit suicide. I mean, it's like really depressing.
Yeah. I love Nick Drake. I think he's great.
And I think he did commit suicide, didn't he?
Or he did.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like another guy, Elliot Smith, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I think I haven't listened.
Oh, really? Very good stuff, but like, it's a downer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't listen to that like before you go on a date or something like that.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
There's a great, I don't know if you saw it, there's a really good special on Netflix about the dead. Have you seen that? It's a whole series.
Oh, yeah. The Stranger.
Something like that. Yeah, yeah. It's really good.
I went to the movies in Nashville. There's like this indie movie theater, and I saw the whole thing. There was an intermission and everything.
Oh, wow. So wow. That must have been a long one.
Yeah, it was about...
It was like a dead concert, must have been.
Pretty much, yeah. It was that's... like a really great, just...
I saw them in 1983, upstate New York.
Oh, wow.
It was very interesting.
Upstate New York, that would have been fun.
Yeah, they came. I went to Binghamton for 2 years, and my last semester there, they came up, and I actually... tripped on acid for that
Amazing.
Show. Yeah, it was pretty interesting. That was my, I think, first and maybe only time I took acid. But I had a lot of fun that night. If I asked you to pick your top three favorite albums, what's the knee jerk reaction that comes first three that come to mind?
Europe 72. Uh-huh. So far, Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young, and Sgt. Pepper's, The Beatles.
Really good albums. Yeah, so you're rooted like in the same music your parents are, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all music that they've, you know, told me about, so.
Tell me something about yourself that people will either be surprised to hear, besides that you just Googled what double stops are, or would find a little odd.
I can do the old man whistle from Family Guy. Do you know Herbert the Pervert?
No, but my kids do, I'm sure. Go ahead, do it. Go at it.
Guys, want some popsicles?
Herbert the Pervert. That's good. That is cool.
I'm trying to think of any other quirks. I don't know.
Any other quirks besides you're up in your head?
I'm sure. Things that I probably don't recognize yet.
Oh, I know. Trust me. I could probably think of one or two, but if I asked my wife, I'd have a long list for me, believe me. Most important person in your life?
Well, I would have to say my dad is the most important person in my life since he's in the room.
Since he's in the room with you, right?
Yeah.
Good answer. What's the most important thing he's taught you?
That you can all really just like to chase your dream. And if the worst that can happen is that somebody says no, and you know, that's been a big one of just like a mental thing where it's like, oh, well, I don't know if I can do that. And it's just like, well, the worst that can happen is they'll just say no. And then you just move around it.
Right.
And so that's been a big thing for me as far as just like the grind, you know, of this whole mess of music. So.
How about your mom? What's the most important thing she taught you?
I'd have to say, I mean, kind of the similar stuff. I mean, just to be myself and, you know, just work your butt off.
What's your non-musical superpower, Liz?
My non-musical superpower?
Yes.
Oh, man. I mean, I can...
Besides the whistle.
Besides the whistle, I can do like the Tiger Woods, the Tiger Woods golf ball thing where he takes a wedge and you do like the juggling. I can basically balance a golf ball on a wedge and
really?
Hit it around. Yeah.
That is pretty impressive. That's like
hand-eye coordination, I would have to say, is probably my superpower, I guess.
That's like the golf version of the hippie hacky sack thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I can do that all day long.
That's very impressive. Are you a rule breaker or a rule follower?
A bit of both, but probably breaker.
Give me an example.
I just like not thinking inside of the box. There's all, you know, just because there's one way to do something, doesn't mean that's the way you have to do it. I think it's more interesting to do things different ways that people haven't done before. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, I've definitely done stupid stuff before. Like, you know, well, when I was in high school, probably junior year and senior year was when all my friends and I were just like bored as hell. You just find anything to do. And I know I got in pretty big trouble once when I had a Jeep and I was like the older one of my friends. And so, I was always the one that had to drive, which now I'm like, oh, those bitches were using me for my car.
You sound like my daughter.
I know.
That's exactly how she talks.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. We would always steal traffic cones, you know, so it would be like we'd be driving around and one of our friends would get out to steal a traffic cone. But then we would like shut the door and leave them, you know, or like so they'd be screwed. And I know I didn't physically hit a mailbox myself, but I was a part of that whole scheme once of hitting mailboxes, and I got in huge trouble for that.
Liz Cooper and the USPS.
Yeah, I know.
I heard about that.
Yep.
It was in the post office on the wall.
Sure.
Any bad habits?
I pick at my cuticles.
What's a cuticle? Oh, that's below your
nail.
Like
around.
Oh, yeah.
It's like your fingernails.
Really?
Bad habit, yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
I know. It's just, I have a lot of nervous energy, so I'm always
interesting.
Picking at stuff.
You know, I bit my nails till I was 50.
And then that's probably what I'm going to do.
And then one day I was just like, God, this is gross. And I just stopped. And like, this is really embarrassing, and I shouldn't say this because you're a woman, but even my toenails. And now I don't bite anything, and so now my wife's like, well, you cut your damn toenails.
Yeah, I've never done that, but I do. I pick up my cuticles, and my mom does it, my grandma does it.
A whole history of Cooper
that's
women.
That's probably what I've learned from my mom.
Let's blame her. That's easy.
Yeah.
Do you have any hobbies or interests outside of music, besides golf?
Yeah. I haven't played golf very often now that I've been doing the music thing. But I like to hike, and camp, and, I like to draw and paint and, read, and, I enjoy, you know, exercising and doing all that kind of stuff and skiing and just being outside a lot. I enjoy that.
That's really cool. You sound very, very balanced. How are you on the road? You good?
I love being on the road.
Really? Like sleeping in hotels or your van or whatever, is you're okay with that?
Yeah, we'll find friends to stay with or,
locally?
I mean, I love to travel. Yeah, I love to travel and I love being on the road. I enjoy it.
Cool. Toughest decision you ever had to make or hardest thing you ever had to do?
Probably moving down to Nashville. Like being like, I'm not going to go to college and basically, you know, what you think you're going to do your whole life, it's completely changed. So that was kind of a big one for me, just making a whole other change of, you know, moving away, not knowing anybody, and, you know, being like, well, I'm not going to school anymore, and I'm not going to do this full scholarship thing anymore. So it was more than me. It was just, you know, I was like, oh, I'm letting everybody down. But so that was a tough decision, I guess, moving down there.
I would imagine your parents were real supportive of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I have a lot of respect for you because I think all those things you've done are going to really, I think they gave you a lot of coping skills that unknowingly you'll pull out later, you know, resiliency and coping skills and adaptability that is going to serve you well over your career.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy for you. Do you have an unanswerable question, like the one question you always seem to be asking yourself?
I guess, like, what's next or how long will this last?
I hear you. Most important lesson your business, the music business, has taught you?
Oh, man, there's so many. Really to just be just being nice to everybody and, you know, being helpful and really like actually building relationships with people. That's what this is all about. It's not, there are people who, you know, you see move down to Nashville and they're there and then they leave. And you're like, oh, I wonder, you know, what's wrong with them. And it's not anything's wrong with them. It's just a different things for everybody. But, I mean, you definitely see people who like use people or, who are like, oh, like I know that person and, you know, I'm going to try to do this or whatever. And it's like, that's not what that's about because that's not what it's about. You know, music is communicating with people and, it's not just like a one-time thing. It's just like you're in it for the long haul. So, building relationships with people and being able to hang. And, I guess patience and, all of that.
Best advice you've ever been given?
Oh, I don't know if I could pinpoint just one thing. I mean, it would all be in a mix of the, you know, whatever I just said has been told to me by either things that I've learned or learned from people, or, you know, anything. I guess really, like, I don't know. I think a combination of all of that stuff that I just said.
That's all good. And last question is, what is your definition of happiness? Understanding that that changes. So happiness for today.
Sure. I guess really just like being present and just happy with what you have and who you're around, and really just surrounding yourself with people who make you feel good and vice versa.
Is it hard for you to be... Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say that's all that really matters, because, I mean, you could be on the road and it could be great, but you could be with terrible people, and that's like really what makes it awful. You know?
Is it hard for you to be present because you're so... I don't want to keep saying up in your head, because you're so, like, you know, your brain is always running.
Yeah, a lot of time. Yeah. A lot of times. But I'm trying to figure out, I think, you know, just how to get going home and stuff is great for me, because it's relaxing and you got to take breaks. And I think this year for me was like, I learned how to, or what my limit was, of just like pushing myself to the limit.
That's a really good thing to learn.
Yeah. So that was my whole thing this year, was to be as creative as possible. And I think I did something every single day. So I, you know, even when I was like, man, I just want to stay home right now, I was like, I'm not going to do it. And I'd go out and do whatever I was going to do and write and hang with these people and people who I admire and I think are wonderful artists and musicians, and just really seeing how they all work. And I mean, I've just tried to surround myself with people who work their asses off. And so for me, I've just been doing that. And this year, just traveling and playing and, you know, playing with those other bands. And there was a festival that we did, and I played myself, I think 12 shows in like 4 days. And so that was like a lot. And
what great
so
practice, though. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's great practice, but it's like, oh, okay, well, you got to, my voice can't handle this much, or,
sure.
You know, I've been getting a lot, I have a lot of sinus issues, so this has been the first year of, where I've been like, oh, man, I've got to really take care of my voice and do vocal warm-ups, and so I'm figuring out all, just, you know, that my voice is another instrument, and I have to take care of it, and... But yeah, I've definitely pushed myself to the limit this year. So it's nice to get home and relax and reflect on all of that. And I think next year I'd like to do there's the transcendental meditation or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I may do that, or like, you know,
learn. Buddy of mine did that a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I hear all positive things about it.
Yeah, he really liked it. He really liked it.
But yeah.
Well, listen, I can't thank you enough. I'm so happy I got to talk to you. I'm really impressed by you, because you're really nice, and you're really, you know, a very positive person, and you're someone that is, like I told you in the beginning, you're easy to root for, and I'm rooting for you, and I know I'm gonna excited for the good things happening to come. And as far as promoting you, I'm going to send people to your website at Liz Cooper Music, right?
Yep.
LizCooperMusic.com. It's Liz Cooper and the Stampede. Go to Instagram and check her out, Liz Cooper and the Stampede. Facebook, Liz Cooper and the Stampede, and LizCooperMusic.com. Any parting words, Liz Cooper?
You can do anything if you work your ass off.
There you go. Wise words. Hey, listen, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And I'm eager
to
see where your career goes. And I'd love to have you back on the show in another couple of years. And
sounds good.
Hear about all the awards you've won and all that kind of good stuff.
Thank you very much.
Everybody, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I did. And your assignment is to Google double stops and let Liz Cooper know on her Facebook page that you support her in that Googling process. Liz, thank you so much for spending time with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Everybody, go to everyonelovesguitar.com. Sign up to get notified about future episodes along with cool stuff for guitar players. Be nice, go play your guitar, and have some fun. Till next time, peace and love, and I'm out. We hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, subscribe to the Everyone Loves Guitar podcast, and you can do this online at everyonelovesguitar.com or on iTunes. And if you like the show, please leave us a 5-star positive review. The more 5-star reviews we get, the higher our show ranks, and higher rankings mean we get to continue speaking with cool, interesting guests on our show. We'll see you on the next episode, and until then, keep playing your guitar and have fun making music.